Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church. For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.
People connect, families grow, lives change. People connect, families grow, lives change.
All right, let's go to Isaiah 10:27 and recap last week. We talked about, it shall come to pass in that day that the burden will be taken away from off your shoulders, and the yoke from around your neck, and it will be destroyed because of the anointing. Didn't say it'll be messed up. It said destroyed. Everybody shout destroyed. So we talked about the fatness around your neck. You're going to start growing mentally, physically, financially. You're going to find out who you are and what God has to say about you, and it's going to get your neck so fat with the anointing that that noose, that thing that was wrapping around you, that addiction, that bad behavior, that anger, whatever it is, you know what it is, it won't be able to get around your neck anymore because you're going to become so anointed. Now, I understand that the word anointed might be Christianese to a lot of you. Last night I met a load of Catholics and Lutherans that were here for the first time, and I always love it because I didn't know till a couple years ago that our church is 70% Catholic and Lutheran, hence St. Louis, right? So I grew up in a church that was like, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, and here's all the Pentecostal people. Come on now, you know what I mean? Anybody out there know what I'm talking about? You weren't one, but you know you were sitting by one today. They were the people making all the noise, like, he loves us all! Those guys. And you're like, he loves us all. I get it. So we got this mixture of a lot of cool, different kind of people that come here. So the word anointing really comes from the word Christ. The word Christ is not Jesus' last name. Like, my name is David Crank. It has no reflection on my personality. But technically, you had Christmas with the Cranks, right? So, but Christ is not his last name. Christ means the anointed one in his anointing. Now, you received Jesus, and now you now are anointed. The anointing rests within you. That's why the Bible said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's 113 times in the Bible does it say, in him, in Christ, in whom. So he is in you, Christ in you. Now, when the anointing becomes more evident in your life and you become to appreciate it more, you'll see it more and you'll enjoy your life and you'll have a lot more holistic, easy life. If you've been carrying a heavy burden, this is hard, I don't know if I can take it any longer, that's the wrong burden. There is a good burden, and Jesus talks about it. Read the red, Matthew 11:28. It says, come learn of me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, everybody shout my yoke. So it's a good yoke. That actually means the anointing. Take my anointing upon you. Learn of me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. In other words, you're not going to go crazy at nighttime thinking about all the things that could have happened, should have happened, wish would have happened. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's read that together. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. One more time, class. What?
My yoke is easy and my burden is light.
So if it's heavy, it's not his yoke. It is a yoke oftentimes that we put on ourselves. See, when you're functioning in your anointing, what God calls you to do, it is easy. For a lot of you, if I asked you to come up here and speak, you know, tell your story, whatever, you'd have a mild heart attack because this is one of the things that people fear big time is public presentation, public speaking. To me, it's what I do. I'm not afraid of you. I'm operating in my anointing. It comes with ease for me. I am a visionary. That's what I do. What I'm not, I don't dabble in that part that I'm not anointed. So here's how it looks like in business. Here at the church, you know, we had, you know, 180 people, 200 people 10 years ago, and I had a big idea. I had an anointing. God came on me. We had everything we needed. We lived in a big house. I'm 34 years old. We'd done well. I was pretty much retired. Nicole was making loads of dough. She was the leading salesperson for telecom. You know, telecom's not a big deal anymore, but then she's bringing in, winning all the trips. At the end of the month, $100,000 check. I love that girl. You're in Florence at the St. Regis, and she's winning trips, and people come up to me and go, well, what do you do? And I go, I'm going to go get her. I take her to work, and then I go get her. That's what I do. And so now everything's good. I'm walking past our barn into the fountain, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. Don't mean I heard a big voice. Inside here, that thing that you hear, slow down, be nice, stop talking so much, read your Bible, that's the Holy Spirit. trying to release your anointing. I walked past the fountain and I heard the Lord say, someday you'll look back on all this and you'll regret it. If you don't use your gift of humor to communicate to people, you will look back and regret this. So I went inside and I told Nicole, I just feel in my spirit we're supposed to sell. Now, we had bought a house and made it bigger. We built the barn. She subsequently wanted to buy all the properties next to us so we could have our kids live next to us. Everything was done. Now you know why she's upset about them going away for Christmas. Now, God tells me, sell it all, go on television, and preach the gospel and build me a church. I went inside and she said, you're upset because your dad died. This is some kind of post-traumatic syndrome. You're going to be okay. But we are not moving. Now, eventually, God gets a hold of her, and guess what? We moved. And God is so smart, because you talk about wisdom. Hey, she had an idea to put the kids next to us. God knew, don't do that, whatever you do. Isn't that right? We're not supposed to provide for them. When we get old, we come back and we live with them and we leave the lights on, huh? And we leave, come on, somebody ought to understand what I'm talking about. And we sling clothes all over the floor. How many of y'all can't wait for that? We'll be like, Merry Christmas, where's my teeth? Okay, so the anointing drove me to unleash what I do, which is communicate the gospel to you, to unleash what is in you. You knew a long time ago that you were different. You didn't fit into the mold. You weren't invited to the parties. You didn't sit at that table. You wondered why they didn't like you. You're like, I wonder why I can't get along with them. It's because him wanted to be with you, and if he allowed you to go with them, you couldn't spend time with him. Somebody ought to help me today and be the best you that you could be and function in your anointing. Somebody ought to say that. Even the Catholics got it going on. I know you know how to move. You do this at church, but then on Saturday night, you're like, oh, yeah. I'm not going to do any more moves than that. Because you get older, your back goes out. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, yeah. Now, take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, for I am lowly at heart. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, when your anointing is on you and in you, it becomes visible. Oh, they are good at what they do. That's what they do. And you function better and you solve problems. Your anointing is not just for you, it's for someone else. God didn't give you this just for you. It's going to bless you, but it's for someone else. When David, remember that in 1 Samuel 17, a little boy named David went out to fight his giant, everyone laughed, such a pretty little fight. A little shepherd boy, only with a sling beside the mighty Goliath, seemed such a puny little thing. David said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, will I come to you in the name of the Lord. Remember that guy? David comes and there's this giant speaking to thousands of men. Here's what I'm going to do to you. Here's what's going to happen to you, just like the devil today. And he's just bringing sandwiches. He brings sandwiches to his brothers, and he overhears this giant saying, your mama this, your mama that, your mama's teeth are so yellow when she smiles, traffic slows down, all that stuff about your mama. He said, what, you want to let him talk about your mama like that? He said, watch this. Watch him function in his anointing. He picks up five smooth stones, which represent the fivefold ministry gifts that we see acknowledged in Ephesians 5. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, so on. He picks up the stone and he releases it. And with pinpoint accuracy, it hits Goliath in the forehead. Goliath falls face forward and he never has to face them again. Then he goes over to Goliath. He takes Goliath's own sword, cuts his head off, and then he lived in Jefferson County, so he mounted it in his trailer. Come on, somebody. And then he probably took his hands and took the sword and had him hold it. Come on, y'all, I'm not talking about. We don't even know. Some of you rednecks put the back of the deer in your bedroom on the other side. Come here, Bob. Look on the other side. Now, the first part was biblically correct. The last part was just me having fun because that's what I do. Now, he solved the problem. It was a big problem. But he had been practicing in his anointing. If you read the book of Psalms, David was a poet and a killer. What a weird personality. He's like, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, Psalms, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a lion. Almighty, and I will say of the Lord. Oh, there's a bear. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's writing poetry, yet practicing, functioning in his anointing. He didn't know. He thought he was just doing what he would be doing the rest of his life. But now when his day comes and God is getting ready to look for the next king of Israel, the lineage in which Jesus Christ himself would come out of, they're looking and he says, line up all the sons. And they line them all up and they go, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. You got any other boys? Yeah, we got one, but he's weird. He's a singer and a poet and he's got blood all over his hands. He's a killer. He's like, bring him here. David walks in and everybody looks the part, everybody smells the part, and he feels out of place, but he is in the place of his anointing. He is in the grace where he's called to function, and God can find you in the back office when they got promoted and it should have been you. Somebody ought to hear what I'm saying. You can lose your house, you can lose your wife, you can lose your husband, but if you don't lose your anointing, you can get it back in 2015. I prophesy all the stuff you've been through, you went through. Don't drag all that junk from 2014 into 2015. If I preach like you clap, you wouldn't come hear me. Somebody say amen. So he's functioning in his anointing. He was turned into another man. Essentially, the anointing will do for you what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It'll change you into another man. And instead of feeling inferior, you go, are you going to let him talk to you like that? The devil said, what? It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. I can do all things through Christ and his anointing. I can do all things through his anointing. I can educate myself and my family even if we don't have money through the anointing. I can get the job through the anointing. I can have the church through the anointing. See, what you don't understand is what God is doing behind the scene right now. God's doing stuff that you don't know about, and you got to trust him. Now, I think it's cute that, you know, there's, you know, phases in life. You believe in Santa Claus, you don't believe in Santa Claus, you are Santa Claus, and then you look like Santa Claus. I understand that. Different phases. I'm not talking about Santa. I'm talking about Jesus, the one, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the wheel within the middle of the wheel, the lily of the valley, the rose is Sharon, the bright and morning star, the one who brought up the sun this morning and set it down this evening. That guy still is concerned about all the hairs or lack of hair on your head. He's got the whole world in his hand, and he sees you functioning, not in your anointing, and he goes, hey, get back over here and do the thing you're called to do. Now, it'd be a shame for me to do anything but what I do, because it's easy for me, and you like it. Come on, you like it in Jesus' name. I know you do. You're going to like it. This is what I do. So God wants to get you aware of that he's doing stuff behind the scenes you don't know about. There's a lady that goes to our Weldon Spring campus, which they sent me a video a minute ago. It's incredible, packed out, slammed, incredible. Thank you for helping us buy that campus. It is the finest facility we have ever had. Unbelievable. Wow. There's a lady that goes there. Her name is Jane. And so Scott and Jane, great people, friends of ours. And so they called like about a week ago, 10 days ago maybe. And they said, hey, man, Jane's got this inoperable tumor. And we're scared. But they're faith people, and they're trying, but sometimes you need people to come in line with you and pray. And so Nicole and I went down to St. Mary's Hospital, and as soon as we walked in the door, there's a guy, he's in a wheelchair, the little remote control job, you know, and he looks at me, and he goes, oh, I was just asking God for a sign that he was going to help me through this procedure, and look who it is, Minister Crank. Minister Crank! And I was just praying for him and loved on him. And then we tried to get on the elevator. Somebody else, oh, Nicole, I need you to pray. We're trying to get to our friends, but we're just healing people and praying for people. And the anointing is moving. And not us, but Jesus through us. We're somebody's hope. Now, we're as surprised as you are. Like, you would go to a hospital and you would never think anybody would be like, pray for me. That's the way we think we are until we get there. And then we realize, whoa, people see us and they think we're anointed because we are anointed, not because of us, but because of him. So you, when you go to work, you need to go in your strength? No, in his strength. And no, when you walk in, they're looking to advance you. They're looking to bless you. Somebody ought to help me today. They're looking for you because you're the answer. Your anointing's not for you. It's for them, and it comes from him. Man, I feel this. The Pointer Sisters would hear, I would make them sing, I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. Come on, sing it with me now. I'm about to. You don't know the Bible, but you know them. Thank you and have a nice day. All right. 1 John 2:20. But no. Okay. Thank you. Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, hey, Jane. Jane's in the hospital. Okay, Jane. Jane is in the hospital. They say it's an operable tumor. We get in there and we start talking to them about the anointing. Christ, the anointed one, he came to deliver you, to heal you, to set you free. Quoted a myriad of scripture over them. Then Nicole just climbs up on the bed and she starts praying over Jane. Father, I speak to you. I speak to this cancer or this tumor in the name of Jesus, the anointed one. And I thank you, Lord, that you say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea and not doubt in your heart, but believe those things you say shall come to pass. You'll have whatever you say. God, we speak to this tumor to die and to wither up in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, we leave. 2 days later, 3 days later, we get a text. Oh, you won't believe what happened. Well, we will believe because we're believers. Who ever heard of an unbelieving believer? Oh, you won't believe. They re-examined this thing, and they said that this thing is necrotic. I've said, what's necrotic? I've heard of neurotic. I've heard of exotic, but not. What's that? They said, it means that it is dying. There's a hole in it, and it turned black, and this tumor is now withering up and dying because of the anointing. Come on, y'all get excited about it. I said, the anointing took the tumor, and what the doctors couldn't do, the great physician can do. So where they stop, God begins. So if it looks like you can't make it, make room for the anointing. Make room for the anointing in your mind, in your marriage, in your money, in your ministry. Make room for the what?
Anointing.
That's good. Everybody shout, that's good. 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Not me. You have. Everybody shout, I have. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. The Bible said you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Truth is not just a fact. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you have an anointing that you've received from him, and it continues to operate, especially when you acknowledge it. So today I don't get up here and say, wow, you know, I do this and I do that. No, it's an anointing. When you go tomorrow to do whatever it is you're called to do, know that you have an anointing to do that. And when you try to get outside your anointing, like people are like, oh, I want to preach, not your anointing. I can't get into this in your field because it's not my anointing. You are anointed to do what you're called to do. So it should give you all the confidence in the world. So part of the reason why I walked up here a while ago and I told Nicole, I said at the last sermon, somehow I dislocated my shoulder. My shoulder is out of socket right now. It's torn into my pectoral muscle right now while I'm preaching and it's hurting my rib. It's hard for me to breathe right now. You would never know that because I'm functioning under the anointing and I just keep on trucking. Okay, so when I came up, I asked Nicole, I didn't say, oh, you're going to have to preach because my shoulder is totally out. I don't know what in the world happened. Freaky things happen like that. I believe later today it'll probably go back in the garage and we'll be okay. Hey, but come on, somebody ought to understand. I'm not sitting here. Don't focus on that. Focus on your anointing. And the more you focus on God's anointing, the less you'll worry about the pain. And then your body will line up with the word because I don't ask my body how it feels. I tell my body how it feels. I don't ask myself how I'm going to be. I tell myself how I'm going to be. Somebody ought to help me. There is an anointing on your life. And the devil will try to throw your hip out of joint, mess you up right before you go to that job interview. You'll get a call right before you go in, and you need to have your mind right, and you'll get that call, and you're like, oh, should I answer it? But if you don't answer it, you got that fear of what is it that I don't know. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? It's the devil coming to jack with your anointing. But you keep on trucking and don't lean to your own understanding, for we walk by faith and not by sight, because we have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. Everybody shout, we know all things. Now, Luke 4:18. Jesus speaking, it is in the red. Survey says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, I want to focus on the Spirit. Notice that's a capital S. Whenever you see in Scripture a capital S, it means the Holy Spirit. If you see a small lowercase s, it is your recreated human spirit. I'm going to give you a 30-second tutorial into who you are. Man is a spirit. He possesses a soul. He lives in a body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you were born, Your spirit came from God. It says that he breathed his barak in you. We get the word breath from it. He breathed his pneuma in you. You get the word pneumonia. And God breathed his spirit in you, and your spirit became alive. And then you put on an earth suit. This suit today, it was in the closet, had no life, just like your body has no life when you get out of it. I just got out of that, no life. Couldn't, just a minute ago, it was standing and moving. No, it's not moving at all. Can't do anything. It told me, hey, man, I'd look good on you. Take me to church, dude. I mean, just really, it'd match your shoes. Just go ahead. So I put, watch life come into it. This is what happened when you put on your earth suit in your mother's womb. You became a human being. In him we live, in him we move and have our being. You put on this earth suit. Now, if we were to pull out a gun and we shot you, your spirit would go to whoever your Lord is. If you're serving Satan, you go to hell. If you serve Jesus and he is your Savior, Lord, you go to heaven. But your body remains here on the earth until God, well, I don't want to get into all that. The bottom line is your spirit is saved and anointed and your flesh never got saved. That's why your flesh struggles against the spirit. The hot sign's on at Krispy Kreme. She's hot. Look at her. That doesn't go away. I saw a guy 90 years old at West County Mall. He's like, turn me around in his wheelchair. Turn me around. It doesn't. Your flesh is still messed up. Don't look at me like you don't like girls. I know you do. So your spirit is wrestling. That's why St. Paul said in the epistles, the thing I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I do, I don't want to do. There's this tug of war going on between good and evil, right and wrong, your flesh and your spirit. And when you come to church and you hear the word, then you operate and understand, I'm not upset with my do. I focus on his done. So I'm not focusing on what I'm not. I'm focusing on who he is. Because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So therefore, if you don't feel saved, it doesn't matter. I don't always feel married, but Nicole says, you are. I have a VHF videotape to prove to you, you are married. How many of y'all remember VHS tapes? Maybe you go to Blockbuster and you had to rewind it or you got fined. Remember that? Kids are like, what? We download it. What? No, we knew all about that. It's not based on a feeling. Now, Luke 4:18, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath what? Anointed. What? Come on. Anointed. He hath anointed me. Now he goes on to his job description. Jesus says, he hath anointed me to what? Preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, blah, blah, blah. That was his anointing. You and I need to realize that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to fill in the blank, be a mom, fly airplanes, run sound, be an actor, be a chiropractor, whatever it is, you have an anointing to do what it is that you do. Now, my friend Michael Chandler, he's an incredible wrestler. I see his mother over there. Why don't you stand up real quick? World champion, mother, son, all over the world. I watched her son the other night. He goes to church here on pay-per-view. People pay $50 to see this guy come out, and he's got blessed on his chest, and he knocks the fire out of people, blood and guts everywhere, and then he goes, blood coming all over. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and I didn't kill that guy. I love that guy. I could have killed him, but I didn't, but I'm a champion, undefeated. Michael Chandler, yeah, blessed. I'm from Jefferson County, and I got a deer in my trailer. He's anointed to do that. You might go, I don't like that. Doesn't matter. People do. So God puts people in certain places. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Michael because he has anointed him to knock people out. He's anointed you to fix people, help people, mother people. You are anointed to do this thing you're called to do. So what I'm trying to really tell you is, when you go into 2015, don't take that load of excuses with you of why you can't and why you should have and it's never going to happen by now and you can't lose the weight and you're always going to struggle with this. No. You leave that over there because I'm telling you that you are anointed and you didn't know that this was your best Christmas ever. This is the one where Jesus revealed truth to you, that Jesus came down so you could go up and be seated with him in heavenly places because the Spirit of the Lord is up on you. Come on, give God praise today.
All right. We got to hurry because we got 4 minutes to do this. I got to go to Earth City and preach there.
I didn't know it till the other day, until the news media told me that I pastor the largest black church in St. Louis. I didn't know that, but I do, because I got soul. Alone, dear. Alone. I can't always do it up in here because there's too many people that have no tan. Alone. I like to do it that way. 11:45, and Saturday night is my favorite. Okay, 1 John 2:20. Did we go there? Did we already do that? I've done a lot of these. I don't know where I went. Like a blind dog in a meat house, I don't know where to go. I'm like a mosquito in a nudist colony, I don't know where to bite. There's so much stuff here. Okay, here it is. Joseph had a visible coat, and you might assume, I'm going to say that it was an anointing. His father loved him. He loved him so much that he made him a little different than everybody else. And so because he was different and he had a different coat on, all of his brothers hated him. They ripped his coat off, but they did not realize it wasn't just a visible thing. It was an inward anointing. And so they threw him in the pit, right? Then they come back a couple days later, or they sold his jacket, and they go, hey, we just figured out that we can sell you on eBay, so we're getting you out. Not because we love you, but we want to sell you. A lot of your family members will sell you. They don't want you for you and your anointing. They want you for what you can do for them. Somebody ought to say amen. So now he pulls him out, and he loses the coat, so then they throw him in prison. And guess what? The anointing's still on him, so he's like, hey, guess what? I reorganized the prison. Things are running steady. Everything is great. And they're like, why, you succeed in prison? So they take him out and they put him in Potiphar's house. And then that organization starts running like crazy because of the anointing. And then the devil went after him to steal his anointing. And so he sent a woman, Potiphar's wife, comes into him and tears his clothes off and tries to get with him, not because he was pretty, but because he was anointed. And so that's why you see preachers dropping like flies, not because you're like, you ain't even pretty. Why are these girls after you? It's not you they're after. They're after the Because if you can get their anointing, then you get their power, and then they're not in the pulpit anymore. And that's why you have to protect your anointing. And I'm telling you that if the gold, the girls, and the glory don't get you, the devil will. That's why you got to come to church, renew your mind, be faithful and diligent to the church, and come to church on time, and bring your little cray-cray kids up in here so they don't go nuts. And then you can live a holistic life knowing, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord under the anointing. I decree and declare over you favor, breakthrough, acceleration, supernatural God opportunities. You're going to be at the right place at the right time. This is going to be the best Christmas that you've ever had because now you know you are anointed. And by the way, my shoulder just popped back in. Stay in there. Shout, I'm anointed. Look at your neighbor and say, you're anointed. Look back and say, but you do need a tic-tac you with your anointing. Now, as I close, I want you to ask yourself a couple questions. If you're smart, you're going to write it down because the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. A couple questions you need to ask yourself. The only difference between now and 2015 is the books you read and the people you hang out with. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. If you're the smartest person at the table, you're at the wrong table. You need to get around people that stretch your capacity for believing and express their concern for you as a person. Don't always be on the mothering end of, oh, I got to take care of them, and oh, I got to fix that. You're going to keep yourself in outside of your anointing, and you're going to wear yourself out. That's why people ask me, will you do this? Will you do that? I need you to marry me. What do you mean? You're not going to marry me? I'm already married. No. I need you to marry me. I can't marry you. There are 12,000 of you. I have to save my anointing to do what I do. And then we have a plethora of great pastors that marry people. So the last church you went to, you left because you wore the guy out because he had to marry you, he had to bury you, he had to go golfing with you, he had to fix your problem, he had to go up there when you had the corn removed off your foot and all that stuff. I can't do that. And some of you look at me like right now, I don't like that, but you like my gift. And the anointing that is upon me cannot sustain if I go doing what I'm not supposed to do. So we got to understand, you be you, I be me, and we offer something here atmosphere called incredible worship, incredible environment, and a Holy Ghost anointing, and I got to do what I got to do. And sometimes that's why I might play the video of Saturday night, because the anointing might come on me so strong on Saturday night. In fact, if the people at 9 o'clock would have known what was good for them, I would have played the last night service, because 9 o'clock I didn't do so good. But Saturday night I was on like Donkey Kong. So trust me that there are times when God might tell me to roll a video, and you're like, I'm watching a video. Trust me, you didn't want me live then, because somebody made me mad, jacked with my anointing, and my shoulder fell off. Then you need to trust me that there's an anointing that'll come through the screen and change your life and your wife and keep you out of strife. I feel our city coming on me now. Shout, I'm anointed. Look at your neighbor and prophesy. Shout, you're anointed. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all feel like, oh my gosh, that was exactly what I needed to hear? No wonder the devil fought me so hard. That's what a church alive is worth the drive. It's too far. And it's not too far. You come here. I live in Illinois. So what? I go to Illinois every week. I preach in Florida at our church every week. They take me to Illinois. They fly me back there. I preach on Thursday night, practice a sermon, get it really good for you, and then break it out on you when it's a little better. There's things you must do because you are anointed. So now that you raised your hand, I want you to close your eyes, and I want to pray for you, and I want to bless you. I want to ask God to help you operate in your anointing. Stop trying to be somebody you're not. Stop trying to run in a lane that you're not called to run in. Stop thinking you have to fix it when God has already fixed it. The tumor is necrotic. The situation is changing. That person that's driving you nuts at work, God's moving. Just trust in your anointing. Let the game come to you. Don't force yourself on him. Quit calling him. Allow God to work behind the scenes, and he works all things together for your good. I prophesy that over you right now, an ease, a lightness, a happiness, a blissfulness like you've never had. I decree and declare as your pastor that you didn't just come to this church haphazardly, you didn't accidentally find it. The Holy Spirit drew you with his anointing, and your anointing was drawn to the anointing that is on this church. And that anointing to remove burdens and destroy yokes is coming in you and on you, and you will never be the same. After this message today, you're never going back to that low state again, because you have now been impregnated with the anointing. It's highly contagious in here, and you have now caught the anointing that is going to catapult you into 2015. I prophesy that over to you right now. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Come on, give it up for the Lord. Woo!
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com. People connect, families grow.